is Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. You have questions about your health, and Memorial Health System has the answers. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
Welcome back once again. It is Ask the Expert. I am your host, Ray Lytle. And this week we're going to be talking about something that many parents, myself included, are going through this week, and that's letting go. We have an expert that is going to help us get through it. Breanne Sartorius is a licensed clinical professional counselor and an outpatient therapist with Memorial Behavioral Health. And as I said, we're talking about letting go today. So let's get into it. Let's discuss what is happening for many people. Breanne, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the problem that parents have this time of year, especially. And I mean, this isn't just kids when they're kindergartners. Oh, little so and so's going off to school. It's not that. It goes all the way up to kids that are leaving for college, and parents are like, oh, you know, I hate to see them go. And but I mean, this is something that everyone, let's face it, everybody has a little problem letting go. So let's talk about, why is it so hard for most parents to let that happen, to let it go?
Sure. Well, I think it's especially hard when kids are actually leaving home to go to college or to move out on their own. It's redefining their sense of normal. So they've had years of establishing who lives in the home, different division of roles in the home, different rituals that we sometimes take for granted, of seeing your child every morning for breakfast and, you know, what you do of an evening, and all of that changes. So completely redefining normal is, I think, the hardest thing for parents.
Is it harder when it's an only child, or if it's the last child?
Absolutely, because, you know, you always have someone else to focus on if there's more children in the home.
Right.
You know, one leaves, and then you can kind of pour yourself into what the other one's doing and maybe amp up extra time spent to kind of help get your mind off of the one that had just left, and, you know, limp through until you can get to see them on a visit or when they're home for breaks, or, you know, when you get to get together, even if they just live across town. It's just not the same. So when you've got more kids in the home and more of that going on, then you've got more time to fill, I guess.
My experience is, I was one of the older ones. We had six kids. And when I left, she seemed to be very happy. My mother seemed to be, okay, see you later. I mean, it was like that. It wasn't, she didn't even drive me to school. It was like, have fun. And I took off for Kansas City. I mean, but not everyone, but I think it's like you said, she had five other kids to worry about. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that's just one less mouth if you get out of here. But I mean, some people, I guess if it's your only child, it would be like, whoa, all of a sudden I'm going to go from status quo being this, this, and this, to all of a sudden, boom, just, mm-hmm. you know.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure about your mom. She might have been happy.
Yeah, but, I think she was. Yeah, I think she still is.
No, but just in general, I think, you know, there's always that mixed feelings. I mean, you are proud and you're happy of your child and you want them to thrive and succeed. I mean, that's what we work from the time they're born until they're leaving and, you know, spreading their wings. I mean, we're helping them to achieve that. So day actually comes and it is that mixed feeling of happy for them and missing them. And, you know, sometimes the initial is very happy, and then kind of the sadness might come a day or two later when you're sitting at home and you're like, oh, they're not coming home tonight. And so it can be a delayed reaction as well.
What about for couples? I mean, I guess if my wife and I, that's my only reference. You know, we were together for a while. Then we had a baby. That baby's now teenager, mm-hmm. going into high school, which is enough of a transition. But in a few years, she'll be leaving to go to college. And I think about this, I not often, but occasionally it comes up. It's like, wow, you know, one of these days she's not going to be around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes it's like it's exciting because, oh, it's just going to be us again. But on the other hand, it's like I cannot fathom not having our daughter home every night.
Well, they become such an integral part in our routines and everything we do, and especially when if you've got active children who are involved in activities and clubs and groups, you're constantly doing for them. You know, so when that aspect is gone, then it's kind of like, well, what do we do with our time sometimes? So it is so important to have a balance in your household of time spent by yourself doing your things that you enjoy, or spending time with friends or hobbies that you enjoy, making a point to take your spouse out to dinner, you know, just things like that, so that when the child leaves, it's not like, now we're sitting in the living room, now what? You know, there needs to be that balance of that dynamic, so that there's a piece that's different, but it's not earth shattering, I guess.
Like I say, I'm the needy. I know this is shocking. We hardly know each other, but I'm the needy one in the house. You know, I'm constantly, you know, I'm either hanging out with my wife or the three of us are, you know, hanging out, going to dinner, whatever, my wife, my daughter, and I. And then sometimes just me and my daughter, which I think my wife likes because that gives her a chance to just relax. And then my daughter entertains me. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I come back and then immediately I'm entertained by my wife and daughter. At some point, she's not going to be around. And this is a legitimate fear. My fear is I'm going to drive my wife crazy because she no longer has that time where it's just her and my daughter her alone with me and my daughter doing something. And I think a lot of parents would probably have a hidden thing about this as well, where you're like, oh my God, now I got to get used to doing this and making that normal where that you don't have that other person in the house.
Yeah.
I guess there's a transition there. Well, how do you ease that transition?
Again, it's a making a conscious effort to switch some things around. It is important to kind of sit back and take note of the role your child plays in the home. So if there are certain responsibilities that they always do, then, you know, when their child leaves, the dog's still going to need to go out. You know, so
right.
Like there's just a lot of things that, again, it's those routines that we just come to take for granted sometimes that are just going on around us all the time. So it's good to be aware of what changes are going to be there when your child's gone. And again, to make a point to not have all your eggs in one basket per se, you know, staying connected with your friends and your family and with your spouse, you know, that is so important because there, you know, once your child leaves, you are going to have more time.
Right.
You know, so, you know, to enjoy that time is great. So I mean, you have to kind of keep that.
You can't be driving each other crazy.
Right.
So, do we have, like, what are the amount of, do couples get divorced when this happens? Is this something that happens?
I don't know a statistic on that,
right.
But I mean, I'm sure, as with anybody, I mean, it's a transition.
When the status quo changes,
it's a transition. So, I mean, you know, the idea is that people band together and that things go on and they just redefine the new normal. And, you know, they can look forward to when they're going to see their child, when the child's going to come home on breaks. Depending on how far the child is away from them, you know, they can say, like, hey, it's Friday. Their college is only an hour and a half away. Let's hop in the car. So, like, you know, they can make a
point. Let's go take her to dinner. In so many instances when it comes to behavioral health, it sounds like you're saying, don't delay. You know, don't say, we'll worry about it when she's gone or when he's gone. Whatever. Start working on it earlier. I mean, how early are we talking? Do we say, oh, it's a year away, we got to start transition, or is it 6 months away? Is there a time that seems perfect to start?
Well, I think, you know, I'm gonna get all therapist on you, but I mean, I think to be able to always be aware, you know, like from even early ages, be aware of, you know, your role, be aware of your spouse's role, be aware of your child's role in the home and always be appreciative of that. Be aware of how things are actually operating, the inner workings, you know, so that you know that going in. And then, you know, as it is getting towards the child leaving, then, you know, kind of picking up a little bit of slack, you know, kind of seeing how that transition's going to go. You know, if your child is very active with the social group, you're going to maybe have a little bit of a feel of them being gone that evening and out doing things. So you get a little bit of a taste of your child not being in the home and branching out, and that transitions progressively as they're developing and growing.
Where if you wait till the last second to start making changes, it's going to be, I mean, you're going to be slapped in the face. It seems like, whoa, now
it's completely
different. Mm-hmm. So parents can actually start, if you're aware of it earlier, it will be an easier transition to make. What about the kids? Now, I've talked about the parents, but like the child themselves, like they know they're going to be going off to college soon, but it has always been, I don't do my own laundry, mom does it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to cook, mom does it. I don't have to worry about my car, dad does. And I'm not trying to be gender specific. I'm sure that everyone has different things. I'm just trying to make examples for everyone. Someone says, well, I don't have to worry. The child says, I don't have to worry about, you know, ever having to do this because their parents take care of it. Now they're off to college and guess what? Mom and dad aren't doing the laundry. You are going to have to do it yourself.
Right.
You are going to have to. Mom and dad aren't there to just give you, dad, I need money to go out. Okay, here's $20. Mm. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And so there's a transition for the child. When should they start making that?
I think, you know, as young as they can. I mean, I have a son that's 5, and even he, you know, he brushes his teeth by himself now. And, you know, he can pick up around the house like he didn't used to be able to do. He's making his own bed now. And then on up the developmental chain, you're continuously adding to that and building on that. And, you know, teaching your child, having them be present in the kitchen when you're cooking, you know, have them participate a little bit in doing the laundry. And they're observing that. They're being a part of it so that, you know, your child isn't the one in the floor laundry room at college staring at the machine like it's a foreign object.
You know, right,
So, you know, you're wanting to develop that over time and you want it to be a smooth transition.
And that is because there are children that go away to school where they are just,
shell-shocked.
I said earlier, yeah, slapped in the face. It's like, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what is this? Because they're not used to it.
Right.
And I think that is, I'm just thinking back to when I was in college, there seemed to be a lot of people that the first couple of weeks there were really rough for them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is unlike anything. This isn't just mom and dad left for the weekend and I'm throwing a party. This is, wow, there's no one here
right.
to remind me what to do, what not to do. And I mean, there's a lot of things that kids are faced with when they go off to school. And you're saying you're as young as 5, you're starting to teach some independent skills to a child.
Yeah, you're building living skills. And really, if I was to sum this entire thing up in one word, it would be confidence. Because, you know, you're as a parent, you want to feel confident that when your child leaves, that they're going to be able to take care of themselves, that they're going to have basic problem-solving skills if they're ever in any type of trouble, that they're going to know how to respond. You're going to want that confidence as a parent. So you do what you can developing with that child that they can have what they need so that when you're kind of waving at them as they're driving out of the driveway that you can like, okay, I believe that they're going to be okay. In the same way with the child wants to feel confident. I mean, none of us like to feel like we don't know what's going on or that we don't know what to do and that helpless feeling. So for a child to say, okay, I got this. You know, I'm hungry tonight. I know how to make a handful of dishes. You know, I need to do my laundry. I know how to do this. You know, I need to do this. Okay. Oh, my tire's flat. Well, mom told me what number to call or told me how to change my tire. You know, there's just different things that they're going to feel confident so that they're not in a spot where they're not knowing what to do. So confidence across the board, I think, is key.
We teach our child confidence. Mm-hmm. They have their confidence. But now, how do we teach ourselves? Because I'm looking 4 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my daughter's starting her freshman year tomorrow. 4 years from now, she'll be starting her freshman year who knows where.
Yeah.
And she's a confident kid. I'm pretty positive she'll be confident to handle it. I'm going to worry about my wife and I, because we're going to be all the time. Is she alive? Is she okay? What happened today? Oh my God, I hope she's not upset about anything. I think that might be the hardest of all the things we've discussed today. Like, how do we keep from being so concerned all the time when our child no longer lives in the house, when they're off at school?
Well, I think if we were to prioritize what a parent's concern is in those types of situations, I think safety is first. You know, we always look at safety, then we look at them being able to thrive and be successful, and then it kind of trickles on down to a variety of other categories. So we want them to be safe. So I think in that respect, you know, it's about educating your child, you know, having them know what's out in the world. I mean, not scaring them, not, you know, but just being open with them and talking to them and teaching them what to do in certain situations and how to make decisions.
Let's focus on some of that safety. When we come back, we'll talk about the safety protocols that your child should know. I mean, they're leaving the home, they're going off, you have to let go. So we've talked about the emotional end of it. Let's talk about the safety end of it when we return. It's Ask the Expert, our expert today, Breanne Sartorius, a licensed clinical professional counselor and an outpatient therapist with Memorial Behavioral Health. We're talking about letting go. It's that time of year where for many parents, we have to let go and our children go off to college, and that's what we're discussing on today's Ask the Expert. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAM.
Well, your child's going off to college. You've raised them well. At least you hope you've raised them well. You've raised them confident. At least you hope you raised them confident. But have you raised them safe? Or have you prepared them to be safe when they go off to school? This all has to do with letting go. That's what we're talking about today on Ask the Expert. Our expert, Breanne Sartorius. Let's talk about, you mentioned safety and how important it is for the child to know before going off to school. Let's get into it. What are some of the things we need to discuss with our children so they will make good choices when they're finally living as an independent, you know, young person at a young adult at a college.
I mean, I think it's that category of, you know, your health class information, your, you know, what's going on in the world, aware of what's going on around you, of how to be safe. You know, don't walk down a dark alley by yourself. I mean, anything basic
right.
as that to, you know, sex,
yeah,
drugs,
but you
and
say all. That. You say that. But I mean, there are some parents who basically their advice is don't get pregnant.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or their advice is, you know, don't drive drunk.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, do people actually take the time to say, listen, it might seem like taking the shortcut through the alley is a good idea. It really isn't.
Right.
And this is why. This is the reality of, you know.
Yeah, because it's hard because as a parent, you don't want to instill complete fear in your child.
Right.
So like you have
yeah.
to achieve that balance of them being informed. And for that, you kind of put it into the category of, okay, this is how you do laundry. This is how you do this. This is how you keep yourself safe. This is how, you know, and have it be more of an educational type of feeling because you don't want it to be, you know, we're going to go underground and live in a... You know, one of
right.
the, you know,
yeah.
so the
we're going to bunker.
Right. Like the world is not this horrible, evil place. There's things going on out
yeah.
there that you need to be aware of. So, you know, making smart decisions and what those decisions are as far as where what would not be a good scenario, like the alley example. But, you know, they're going to have exposure to drugs and alcohol
yeah.
and, you know, different levels of sexual content. So, I mean, there's just going to be so much out there that they're going to be exposed to and they need to know how to navigate through that.
Do parents, you know, you mentioned sex. Do parents, do they deny having that conversation for so long and then all of a sudden the kid's going off to school and, you know, have you really had that conversation? Have you sat down and said, listen, you're going to go to college. There are either girls or whatever child you have, but there are people the opposite sex or people the same sex, whatever you got going on, who will take advantage of you and not everyone has the best intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are conversations that are hard to have.
Yeah.
I mean, those are conversations that were hard to have with siblings.
Yeah,
I couldn't even imagine having it with a child, but eventually it's going to have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how do parents who have trouble with that have that conversation? Do they, is that a conversation that you have or is that like either with the parent or the child?
You have to kind of be proactive and reactive.
Right.
I mean, you have to be educating, but there's also going to be enough coming through your door that you're overhearing your child talk about that they heard at school from classmates, and that could be as early as middle school.
And it's usually incorrect.
It's absolutely
right.
incorrect. So, I mean, it's so important for them to have a basis of comparison. So, like, they need
right.
to be hearing information at school and saying, like, well, that's not what my mom said or that's not what my dad told me. Like, they need to have a little bit of a balance with that. They're not fun conversations. I mean, I don't think anybody enjoys having them. And it's always kind of laughed about, like, oh, someday we're going to have that conversation, you know. But it's so important because it's really their safety that we're talking about. So I think as a parent to tell yourself, not fun, but necessary.
This is a 100% legitimate conversation I had with my daughter. I'm going to share it with. She's going to kill me if she finds out I share it. But this is not made up for a sitcom or anything else. This is a true conversation that I had with her not that long ago. Somehow the topic of early pregnancy came up, and I was joking, I think she's smart enough to know, you know, the best way to not get pregnant is just not have sex. But God forbid something happened there, you have to be protected. And we were talking, and she goes, I got in an argument with a friend of mine. And I was like, well, what friend? She goes, well, and then she tells me the person, and she goes, the argument was, and I thought, I'm like, okay, she's making it up. This girl that she knows is a friend of hers. They were having an argument because the girl was telling my daughter that you cannot get pregnant if you're having intercourse while standing up.
Wow.
This was a legitimate conversation that eighth graders were having.
Mm-hmm.
And for starters, I mean, I was happy and yet shocked that my daughter was having the conversation with me. But that's a true thing, that kids mm-hmm. actually think that. And I told my daughter, I said, you know that that's not true, right? And she goes, yeah, yeah, I was arguing against it, saying no, that it doesn't matter how you're doing it, you can get pregnant.
Yeah.
But this girl that she knew was arguing with her, going, no, you can't. If you're standing up, it can't happen. And I was like, this is something that these kids are, someone has got this out there.
Yeah.
And how dangerous that is.
Yeah.
And I told my daughter, I'm like, you should tell your friend to talk to her parents about this because it truly is not It's just not true. That's an untrue thing to say.
Yeah.
But these are the conversations that are going on. And for me, it was shocking. Not that we were having the conversation. It was shocking that someone actually thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
And they learned that from somewhere. Or somehow they came to the decision that whatever assumption that is what's going on.
Yeah.
And you think that these are children of age that were not knowing that can be a huge effect on the rest of their lives.
Yeah. There's a huge amount of misinformation out there, whether it's sex, drugs, or alcohol use and what can or can't happen. So, you know, I would say you're probably doing a pretty good job. The fact that your daughter was opposing that theory,
yeah.
but it's just,
I'm happy that she has those conversations with me,
yeah.
But I mean, still that she knows it is, but I think she learned it from health class. It's not that,
sure.
It's not that we've raised her constantly going, remember, don't have sex standing up.
Right.
But I mean, it's just, she knew,
yeah.
But the fact that there are kids out there that don't know and it makes me wonder, what does my daughter not mm-hmm. know? I know for a fact of someone, a kid that was doing yard work for us was talking about, oh yeah, you can drive if you're on pot.
Mm.
And I don't do that, but I'm saying there are kids that think, oh, that's okay. And I'm like, and I think that there are people that have to have these conversations
yeah.
with children about, let's like you said, sex, drugs,
yeah.
rock and roll. Start with classic rock would be my
yeah.
suggestion to the
right.
kids. But I mean, there are things out there that people don't know. And we as parents, we have to have these conversations
yeah.
to keep them safe.
And there's so many, I think there's so many different factors. Because I mean, you know, it's sometimes a generational issue of parents and then their parents not necessarily having the guidance that they needed. And, you know, what's really out there and what to be watchful for and what to be having conversations with their children about. And as far as health class, too many people rely on health class as being
yeah.
what educates their children.
And health class is limited in some areas of what they can and can't say.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to knock the programs because
no.
they're great.
And
but
the teachers are great usually.
Right, but I mean, whether it's health class or math or English, your kid's not 100% paying attention to
yeah.
every single thing
yep.
the entire class. I mean, they're catching bits and pieces. There's areas that get more attention than others, but you know, that should be a supplement to what they're getting at home. You know, having open communication with your children, they're gonna bring questions to you. You know, they're gonna say what they heard at school, and it's going to open discussions. If it doesn't, then you can sometimes inquire. Like if it's
yeah.
been a while, and you know we all have our friends and our social circles, and when people are sitting around, you're like, oh, you never know what my daughter said the other day. So then that's gonna put a little seed in the back of that friend's mind of like, well, my daughter's the same age or my son's the same age. And, you know, he hasn't said anything about that. But if his daughter's hearing about it, then maybe there's something like
it's
that.
It's going around.
It's
yeah.
going around. So, I mean, sometimes that even plants the seeds in a parent of like, well, maybe I need to kind of test the waters a little bit and see what they know and kind of what's going on out there and let them know that they can talk to me. And
I know I tend to think of my daughter as being this little girl forever. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, as she gets older, I start to realize, boy, what did I know at that age? And I'm like, oh, my God, you know,
mm-hmm.
I know what I knew at that age. And, you know, these are things that parents have
right.
to deal with. I want to continue on the safety stuff, but I also want to get into just, you know, raising independent children. We'll get into it next when we return. It's time for news, though, on Ask the Expert. We are back with more Ask the Expert. Our expert today is a clinical professional counselor and an outpatient therapist with Memorial Behavioral Health. It's Breanne Sartorius. Breanne, thank you so much for being here. I'm learning a lot and having an enjoyable conversation as well. We're talking about letting go. That's our topic for today. We're talking about safety protocols. Your kids are getting ready to, they're becoming adults and they're going off to college, and we worry about them making good choices, and we have to keep them safe. We have to keep them safe. And we started talking about how, you know, as your child is growing up, you have to have those conversations that you might consider tough conversations with them. And some parents are really anxious about having the conversations. What are some tips for parents to be more comfortable talking a certain way to their child or having an adult discussion with a child who isn't technically an adult?
Well, I mean, again, in a great scenario, then communication lines will have been open throughout their life up to that point, where they openly talk about what happened at school that day and, you know, what's going on with their friend, which at younger ages are things that don't even have anything to do with the topics that we're talking about right now. But it sets the framework of conversation and trust and knowing that they can come to you with things and ask you anything. And that just sets the framework. So, I mean, if that's something that's always happened, you know, from the time they're younger up until that point, then it isn't such a, you know, dun, 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 you know, walking towards the room, I have to have this conversation,
right,
you know,
yeah.
because, you know, ideally you've always been talking about whatever the current issue is. So this is just another one of those conversations, and it just happens to be about this topic versus, you know, last week when we were talking about, well, what do you think about, you know, healthy eating or something, like anything, you know. So it just, it's another conversation. When parents look at it like that, it takes a little bit of the pressure off. I think parents have a lot of pressure and feeling like they have to get those conversations right, you know. So for whatever that means, you know, there's no right about it. It's just the effort. It's putting the discussion out there. It's knowing that they can come to you with things, try and do your best to educate them. You know, parents can study up too. I know it might sound silly, but if they, there's a wealth of information online even, you know. So if parents want a little bit of guidance, they can go on there and they can start Googling. I mean, I would encourage people to look for reputable sites instead of, you know, somebody's random blog post about the conversation that they had with their child that night.
Right.
But you know, there's a lot of guidance out there from very reputable sources where you can go on there and it'll say, like, how to approach your child about drugs and alcohol, you know, and it'll give different scenarios. And that can give people help if they want that little extra boost of, how do I do this? You know, but it's just, it's so important. One thing to keep in mind, too, is the response you're going to get from your child when this does come up, because you're going to have the child that's very open to this discussion. It doesn't make them uncomfortable whatsoever.
Right.
But then you're going to have the child where it's like, oh, mom.
Yeah.
Or like, dad.
I don't want to talk about this. I know how it works.
Right. Like, I had this in health class. I don't need to talk about it. Like, you know, that type of thing. But you still have to do it.
Yeah.
You still have to do it, because as many eye rolls as you're getting, they're hearing you.
Yeah.
You know, they're picking up tidbits.
And sometimes that's their way of dealing with the uncomfortableness.
Absolutely.
Of, I'm talking to my father about sex, or I'm talking to my mother about, the child sometimes will get, I say child, but sometimes we're talking about young adults too.
Mm-hmm.
They will be apprehensive, and the way that they handle that is rolling their eyes and making a big scene of it. And the fear is that a parent goes, okay, well, I don't have to have the conversation with you anymore. Meanwhile, the kid's thinking, oh, no, please have the conversation. But people don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the environment, too, because, you know, parents have certain expectations for their children. You know, they, you know, say what your child should or shouldn't do. I mean, we've been doing that since they were little, you know, and now they're getting older, and we say, like, you know, you shouldn't be drinking at parties, and, you know, if this is going on, you need to leave, or if this goes on, you need to call and I'll come pick you up. Or, you know, so depending on that, and depending on how stringent the parent is, then is going to affect how open the child is with you too, because some parents might be so stringent that, you know, if I hear that you have a friend that's doing this or this, then you can't be that person's friend anymore. So then a child gets put in a position
I don't want to lose this friend.
I don't want to lose this friend, so I can't let my parents know that this is going on. So you kind of have to have that internal battle with yourself as a parent, because you want to not condone behaviors that you don't agree with, but create open discussions and the I'm going to love you no matter what, and first and foremost, I want you safe. So even if this ever happens, don't worry about getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Call me. You know, so like it has to have that that established trust.
We've
and
all
openness.
Heard that. I mean, and especially when it comes to drunk driving, you know, throughout the years, we've all known those. Unfortunately, too many of us know a story, that firsthand experience of someone where, man, they should have called their parents before driving.
Yeah.
They really should. They just called somebody. Yeah. Call anybody. And that, unfortunately, even today, this still happens.
Yeah.
You know, give your kid a smartphone and put money on an Uber account for him, for goodness sakes. Let's talk about independent children. So when your kids are older and they're going off to school, we've discussed this, they have to be independent. I mean, it's for their own good and for your good, because you won't worry about them all the time. But we have to be raising independent children. What life skills? We talked a little bit about laundry and things like that. But what did we miss? What other things do they need to know before heading off?
The biggest thing, I think, has to do with self-care, you know, how they take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So adhering to some level of a healthy schedule, you know, knowing about how much sleep you need. So here I need to kind of go to bed by this time. And I know that I need to be up at this time because I need to be to work, or I need to get to class. I mean, there has to be a concept of time management that they have to have been exposed to and practicing all throughout, I would say maybe high school, because, like, I don't think your younger kids have to be woke up by an alarm clock. But I mean, even that is sometimes a foreign concept. I mean, I've worked with families and teenagers to where the mom says, I had to go in four times to wake them up. Okay, well, they need to be practicing an alarm. They need to experience what happens when you're late. You know, like, they need to kind of understand those consequences instead of those constant battles to where the mom or the dad or the grandparents are constantly in there as the human alarm clock every morning. So they need to have that responsibility that they're building. And
When you leave home, your mother is not going to come going into your dorm room.
Right.
Or if you're just maybe you're not at school, maybe you're going to work, whatever. You're not going to have your parent there to say, hey, time to get up.
Yeah.
You've got to do it on your own. Because trust me, your roommate doesn't care.
Right.
If you've got a roommate, they're leaving. They don't care if you're up or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just reality. What about money? Because I know that when kids go to college, you know, the credit card companies just, wow, they're like vampires and there's fresh blood. And I mean, they send them offers and this and that. I know, of first-hand knowledge, I know a lot of kids who got into debt while they were freshmen in college.
Yeah, they're going to get daily things in their little college mailbox that says $500 credit card. This sounds amazing.
This is great.
Right. So, and a lot of it, there's so many things that are different child to child based on what the family was like prior to that. I mean, if it was anytime the hand's out, then they always get money, then that's going to be a different scenario of expectation how to budget money versus here's your paycheck. You have to make that last for 2 weeks, or, you know, here's your allowance. You know, this has to cover your gas and then this, you know. So learning to make that spread, you know, making good choices in what they purchase and what they spend that money on.
What's a good age for parents? And I'm asking for myself as well. At some point, my daughter's going to be on her own and she's not going to have, okay, well, my parents will pay for that. She's not just going to have that. That's not going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So at what age is it a good time to say, okay, listen, you're a sophomore, junior, whatever in high school. It's time for you to start budgeting your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should we start or younger than that?
Well, and again, I think school kind of helps give a kicking off point with that because, you know, I think even as freshmen, if not even eighth grade now, I've kind of lost track of where I hear it the most,
right.
But consumer sciences, like you hear, you know, where you learn how to write a check and you learn how to do some basic budgeting and some comparison shopping. And so I think kind of about that age, eighth grade, freshman year, then there needs to at least be an awareness to where they're with you at the grocery store saying, well, you know, we need some cottage cheese. Well, there's this kind and there's this kind. Well, this one's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've not noticed much difference in the taste. So like, let's go for this one. And then we can use that money towards something else. And so general budgeting and how they choose certain things, how much things cost. Because I think kids are just kind of like, well, we always have food.
Right.
There's always stuff in the cabinets. There's always this and that. You know, they have no concept in how much that grocery trip just cost.
And it's time to let them know that.
Let them know, this isn't just a money tree in the backyard scenario.
Right.
You know, they need to be appreciative of what they have. They need to not be thinking that I can buy whatever I want when I want. I need to be running all the time. They need to say like, okay, well, I've got this much money and, you know, if I want to go to the movies and maybe I'm going to skip out on ice cream tonight.
Right. You won't have, you can't just go, Dad, give me money so I can go do this.
Because
they're not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a break. We'll come back and I want to talk a little bit about college transition. But then I want to take at least a couple minutes to discuss what the signs are. Like maybe this is too big for a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is time to bring in someone who's a counselor or, you know, that your child needs to see or maybe you need to see. I want to get a couple minutes of that as well. We don't have a lot of time left, but I'm really enjoying the conversation. We're talking about letting go with expert Breanne Sartorius. It is Ask the Expert on WTAX.
You're listening to Ask the Expert.
We're back. Ask the Expert. It's a fun one today. We're talking about letting go. Your child's going off to college. It's time to let them go. And we've discussed emotional preparation, safety protocols, you know, got to get them ready, building independence in your child. Now the college transition, they've got to get ready to transition. We talked about teaching them those things they need to know. What are the other tips that we need for getting them ready for the transition? What did we not touch on that we should have probably mentioned today?
I think a lot of it does have to be based on their unique situation. So whether or not they're moving into an apartment complex or if they're moving into a college campus or whatever the situation is, they need to start being aware of their surroundings. They need to know kind of where they are in relation to different supports and different resources that they're going to need. So whether that's where's the grocery store from my apartment or where is the union hall where I can be getting my meals to, you know, who do I go to if I have a problem? So whether that's your landlord at your apartment or if that's, you know, the resident advisor on your floor or support services at school. Depending on the size of your college campus, then they might have a counseling center. You know, there might be any level of supports where you can get questions answered.
And it's important for all the kids to know where these places are, but also what to do in case of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We have those conversations with them or how am I going to have a conversation with my daughter about how to go to this part of a college when I don't know, I'm, mm-hmm. you know, hours away. Where the kids can go to the school and get that information, or how do they get that stuff?
In most scenarios, there's at least opportunities where children or their families can go take a tour. They can get a rundown for, here are the buildings I'm going to be in. You know, here is what my dorm looks like. You know, they can get a lot of those questions answered prior to ever going off to school. Same way with when you're even selecting your apartment, if you're just going to be living on your own and you're working, you know, you're going to get a feel for it. You're going to know what it's looked like. You've toured it before you signed up for it. You know, so any of those opportunities, definitely take advantage of. There's just a wealth of information out there. You just have to ask the questions.
I mentioned earlier that, you know, when you're in college, your roommate's not going to wake you up. You know, I mean, you might become good friends with your roommates, but I mean, there are expectations that some kids, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have the best roommate in the world. We're going to be best friends. And that's not always the case either. So how do we prepare our children for how other people are going to react, or how other people are going to be when they go off and meet them?
Low expectations. I say that because really it's just about mutual respect. I mean, you have to understand that everyone's coming in with their own habits, their own preferences, when they prefer to get up and when they prefer to go to bed, and kind of what's important to them. So they're all coming into that, and you hope that meshes well, you know, but they don't have to be your best friend to be a wonderful roommate.
Right.
So to go into that, just having an openness to have those kinds of conversations instead of just the full-on trial and error with your roommate of like, I'm going to roll in and flip the light on at 2 a.m. Well, my roommate likes to go to bed at 10, so that's going to make some conflicts.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have those kind of conversations right down to, well, I have this class at 8:00. You don't have your class till 9. I'm going to use the shower first. You know, so I mean, even those kinds of conversations, it's just good in that get to know you period of time of just kind of saying, okay, what are the bare bones of what we need? And then beyond that, you do get to know each other, and they either can be a wonderful friend and become, you know, the person who stands up with you at your wedding, or they can just be somebody that happened to be a great roommate while you were at school, but that's it.
My first year, I went through 3 of them. Finally, the third one stuck. He was really cool. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
So it is okay to teach your child to, when you meet people, have low expectations. I mean, is that okay? Or?
I say that jokingly. I mean, right. I don't know that you should have to use those terminologies, but just to be focusing on, you know, you just have to respect each other.
Right.
You know, if there are differences, if there's things that you don't agree on, backgrounds that you aren't as familiar with, you know, be open-minded, but have that bare-bone respect of, you know, this person's asking this of me, or I'm asking this of them. You know, this is how we're going to be able to work as a unit. It's a similar setup to in a coworker situation when they're in the workforce someday. You know, you don't have to be best friends to be a very functioning unit. So just to kind of go into it with that, and then, you know, because if they do go into saying this is going to be my new best friend, and then they immediately feel that kindred spirit feeling, then it could be a very difficult transition for them, because they're immediately going to be shattered, because I had this image of us doing everything together, and then that's not what it is.
Reality.
And so they've amped it up to be something that it may be impossible to achieve. You know, so it happens. It absolutely does. I mean, my college roommate stood up in my wedding. So, you know, it absolutely happens to where you can form these amazing lifelong friendships, but, you know, that's not what it has to be.
Right. So lower expectations, the more excited you'll be when good things happen, or the, you know, you won't be excited when it turns out to not be great. I thank you for being in. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Maybe it's because I'm just a few years away from having this happen myself. Listen, it is Breanne Sartorius, licensed clinical professional counselor and an outpatient therapist at Memorial Behavioral Health. Thanks for being our expert today. That is it for this week. Be back next Tuesday at 3 with another episode of Ask the Expert.
This has been Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX, brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org and join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Hi, this is